Okay, let's unpack this. We've got a truly fascinating stack of sources here, covering ground from spiritual practices and personal accounts to, well, even psychological research and historical inquiry.
Yeah, it's quite a mix. Everything from in-depth articles to, forum discussions.
And our focus,
Yeah.
your intuition, that kind of innate knowingness we all seem to possess, and specifically the different ways that knowingness can show up what are often called the clairs.
That's right. We're diving deep into this idea that fundamentally everyone possesses intuition. Some of our sources really lay this out clearly, saying it's not some rare mystical gift, but actually a basic human capacity we all have.
Right, not just for a select few.
Exactly. And what many people call psychic abilities, well, they're really just intuitive abilities, maybe used more consciously, perhaps. It's about tapping into and directing that natural knowing that's already there.
And the clairs are basically the different languages or like channels through which this intuition communicates with you.
Think of like having multiple senses, but these are for receiving non-physical information. Several sources identify these clairs as the main ways we perceive intuitive insights.
Okay. So our mission for this deep dive, pulling from all these varied sources, is to explore what these different intuitive languages are, how they might already be showing up in your life.
And maybe you don't even realize it yet.
Right. And most importantly, to give you practical steps and insights, straight from these materials, on how you can actively work on understanding and, crucially, developing your clairs.
We really want this to feel accessible, encouraging, and genuinely educational. Useful.
Because the big takeaway here, and it pops up across many sources, is that this potential for intuitive development, it's available to everyone.
Absolutely. While you might naturally find one clair feel stronger than others right now, you absolutely have the capacity to improve your overall intuition and, experiment with developing all of them.
So there's no single right way to be intuitive.
Not at all. One source explicitly reminds us of that. Your specific combination of abilities is unique to you. How you receive messages is your own way.
That's really empowering. It's less about trying to get something new.
And more about learning to recognize and strengthen what's already within you. And these sources, they offer a wealth of specific guidance on how to actually do that.
Perfect. So let's jump in. Let's break down these core clairs that our sources focus on, explore how they show up, and look at practical ways you can nurture them. Where should we start? Maybe clairaudience, clear hearing.
Sounds good. Clairaudience. It's the ability to receive intuitive messages as auditory input. Literally, clear hearing. But, and this is important, it often isn't like hearing a voice in the physical world with your ears.
Ah, that's a crucial distinction. Because when people hear clear hearing, they might immediately think of, well, certain medical conditions or worry about hearing things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one source makes it really clear this is different. It explains that clairaudient messages typically sound like someone talking, but the key is it's happening in your mind.
Okay, an internal voice.
Right. It's not usually a full external sounding conversation. More often it's distinct words, maybe phrases, or sometimes sentences that just kind of pop into your
So
awareness.
it feels like an internal voice, but somehow separate or different from your own regular thoughts. Is that fair?
That's a great way to put it. One source notes the tone is usually very even, calm, clear. It's never harsh, demanding, or, tormenting.
That calm quality is key then.
It is. That steady, neutral quality is a key differentiator from, say, auditory hallucinations, which might be linked to medical issues, something that comes up indirectly in the source discussions around discernment.
Right.
And sometimes clairaudience can be incredibly brief, just a single word, or even a number that arrives with a sudden feeling of significance.
Can you give us some more specific examples just to make it really concrete? How does this actually manifest for people?
Sure. One source gives some great illustrations from intuitive practice. Like you might hear a straightforward directive in your mind, maybe wait until after graduation when you're wrestling with a life decision,
Okay.
or perhaps ask for a monthly retainer during a business negotiation. It can also be specific names that come through, like just hearing the name Frank when asking about a client's husband.
Wow.
Or numbers, like hearing 13 seemingly out of the blue, which later connects to a client's age when a significant trauma happened. Or even just a career suggestion, like hearing the word nursing linked to someone.
That specificity is remarkable. What about things that are maybe less direct, not quite instructions?
Well, one source mentions hearing common cliches, but they land with an intuitive emphasis, like hearing the timing is right or he's the one. but it hits with this specific weight of intuitive truth.
Got it.
And a couple sources also note it can sometimes manifest as physically hearing sounds that aren't actually there, or maybe a heightened sensitivity to very subtle physical sounds, like a specific kind of ringing in the ears.
Oh, interesting.
And one source even gives the example of clearly hearing your name called out loud when, you know, logically no one is around.
Okay, that one would definitely make me pause. And I remember reading those accounts from Leo on Reddit in one of the sources. His experiences sounded incredibly vivid, almost bordering on the external.
Leo's accounts are quite striking, yeah. Really vivid examples from those forum discussions. He described being woken up by distinct voices, calling out like an old man yelling, "Wake up!" A little boy calling for his dad. A woman knocking and saying, "Let me in!"
Oh.
He also reported hearing specific non-physical sounds. Things like shattering glass, crunching metal, a huge boom, even sonar. But maybe his most compelling story was hearing an impossible conversation clearly outside his window.
Impossible how?
Like, logistically impossible for him to hear it from where he was. But then later, the exact same conversation happened physically, word for word, just two doors down.
That's incredible. It really shows the range, doesn't it? From a quiet inner thought to something much more pronounced.
It absolutely does. It's a spectrum.
So, okay, how do you even begin to develop something that can manifest in such varied ways? What do the sources suggest?
Well, they give us some practical pathways. One source offers a really interesting insight.
Mm-hmm.
Simply being around other intuitive people or actively engaging with material about intuition, like listening to this deep dive right now, can subtly start to open your own channels.
Just by listening, you're already sort of tuning in. I love that idea.
Exactly. It's like being in an environment where that intuitive muscle is being flexed, and it encourages yours.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, another source encourages conscious effort. Actively listen for words or phrases that spontaneously pop into your mind.
Don't just brush them off.
Right. The key is to catch them and not immediately dismiss them as just random mental noise or your own thoughts.
Mm.
Give them a moment of attention. See if they resonate.
And meditation comes up repeatedly in the sources, right? As foundational for developing intuition generally.
It's absolutely fundamental for all the clairs, clairaudience included. Several sources specifically highlight meditation. Quieting the conscious mind, that everyday chatter, it allows you to become more receptive to those subtle internal auditory messages that might otherwise just get completely drowned out.
And it doesn't have to be hours long, right?
Not at all. One source is very clear about that. Even just 5 minutes a day can make a significant difference in creating that inner space, that quiet, receptive state.
Are there specific tools or, I don't know, techniques mentioned that might help tune this specific hearing sense?
Well, one source suggests that certain crystals can potentially be helpful for stimulating areas associated with hearing and communication. Lapis lazuli is mentioned, for instance.
Okay.
It's linked to the third eye and throat chakras, said to aid clear communication and discerning truth. Angelite is another one mentioned, supposedly helps connect to higher realms or frequencies, which could potentially aid in tuning into subtle auditory messages.
Interesting. So the approach involves active listening internally, creating quiet space through meditation, maybe exploring supportive tools like crystals, if that resonates.
Precisely. It's about cultivating an inner environment where you can perceive these subtle auditory inputs and consciously practicing listening for subtle sounds both externally in your environment during quiet times and internally within your mind helps fine-tune that sense. Plus, integrating the general intuition development exercises we'll cover later also significantly benefits your clairaudience. It all works together.
Great. Let's move on then. Clairvoyance. Clear seeing, this is maybe the one people think of most often when they hear psychic, you know, seeing visions or images.
It is definitely one of the most widely recognized. The sources define clairvoyance as the ability to receive intuitive messages as images, scenes, or visions. One source even calls it a primary modality for receiving psychic information.
How does this typically manifest? Is it actually like watching a movie in your head?
Sometimes it can feel that vivid, yeah, but
yeah.
Often the images are more fleeting or symbolic. One source explains that messages often arrive as an image or a scene, but frequently presented as a metaphor.
A metaphor, like a symbol.
Exactly. You might see it clearly in your mind's eye, or more rarely, it can appear almost as if projected onto the physical world. It could be a scene playing out, or maybe just symbols, numbers, or words appearing visually in your mind.
Okay.
And dreaming, according to one source, can also be considered a form of clairvoyance, since it involves receiving information through visual imagery in an altered state of consciousness.
How do you tell the difference, then, between a genuinely clairvoyant image and just your own imagination running wild, or, you know, a random thought?
That's a great question. One source offers a key distinction. Clairvoyant images tend to pop into your mind out of the blue. They feel distinct from your conscious thought process or deliberate daydreaming. There's a quality of them coming to you rather than being generated by you.
Okay, that makes sense. They feel received, not created. Let's hear some examples from the sources. How do these images actually convey meaning? You mentioned metaphors.
Right. One source provides excellent examples from their practice that really show this metaphorical nature. For instance, seeing continental plates shifting or the ground shaking under a client could be a powerful visual metaphor for dramatic life changes they're going through.
Wow.
Or seeing a client fishing, but their net is full of only small fish that might intuitively mean they're settling for small gains and should perhaps wait for the big fish, you know, a better offer opportunity.
I see.
Another example was seeing a weather vane whipping wildly in the wind, which could symbolize a changeable or unpredictable lover. And the source emphasizes that these images are often highly unique and personally meaningful to the individual client or situation.
Those metaphors are quite insightful,
yeah.
Very specific. What about more direct accounts or historical ones?
Well, Leo on Reddit, who we mentioned earlier, described seeing a very vivid, seemingly 3D rectangular shape in bright yellow, just superimposed onto his environment for a few seconds, incredibly real and undeniable to him.
Just a shape.
Just a shape, but intensely real visually. And then there's a famous historical account shared in one source from Edmund Gurney, a 19th century psychologist. As a child, Gurney apparently had this sudden, clear vision of his mother lying dead in a specific, rarely used room in their house.
Oh my gosh.
He was alarmed, naturally, ran for help. And when assistance arrived, they found his mother suffering a severe heart attack in that exact room, in the precise position he'd envisioned her.
That's chilling, but also a powerful example of a vision linking directly to a verifiable event.
It's a classic, though admittedly rare, example of what's called a veridical vision, a vision that proves true.
So if you experience spontaneous images like that, or maybe just vivid dreams, how can you work on developing your clairvoyance? What do the sources suggest?
Well, one source's primary advice is actually quite simple. Just be aware and observant. Be on the lookout for those images that spontaneously appear in your mind. And again, resist that immediate urge to dismiss them.
Pay attention.
Exactly. Give them attention. See if they hold meaning for you. And this source also offers a helpful dose of patience. They noted their own clairvoyance developed years after their clairaudience was already quite strong, highlighting that intuition tends to grow dramatically over time. But it requires consistent practice. It doesn't always happen overnight.
Patience is key. Are there specific techniques mentioned to actively encourage this visual intuition?
Yes. One source offers a fascinating technique involving hypnagogic images.
Hypno what?
Hypnagogic. Mm-hmm. Those are the swirling lights, colors, and patterns you often see behind your closed eyelids, especially maybe after being in bright sunlight or right as you're drifting off to sleep.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
So this source suggests that during meditation, you can consciously work with these images, challenge yourself to influence them, maybe try to form letters or simple shapes. The idea is that this practice can potentially lead to greater conscious control within these visual states.
Interesting.
And potentially even lead into lucid dreaming, which another source connects directly to clairvoyance.
And meditation itself, just generally, must be crucial here too.
Oh, absolutely. It's mentioned again and again. Creating that calm internal state makes it so much easier for subtle visual information to surface without being immediately overshadowed by your own thoughts or external distractions.
One source had a specific exercise focused on dreams, didn't it?
Yes, it did. An exercise titled Intuitive Dream Daydream. It suggests setting an intention before you go to sleep. Mentally ask your intuition to provide a dream or maybe a daydream image that would be beneficial for your life, or maybe help you with a specific question you have.
Okay.
Repeat this request gently as you fall asleep. Then, crucially, upon waking, immediately capture whatever visual information comes to mind, whether it's a vivid dream sequence or just fleeting images by writing it down or even drawing it.
Capture it before it fades.
Exactly. Then take some time to reflect on it. Evaluate the potential advice or insight it might contain.
So it's about actively inviting and then making sure you capture that visual information from your subconscious or intuitive mind. What about crystals for clear seeing? Any mentioned?
Yes. One source mentions a couple associated with enhancing visual intuition and also protecting your energy while you're doing intuitive work, which is important. Celestite is suggested
Okay.
for encouraging connection between the crown and third eye chakras, amplifying the ability to see with the third eye and supporting vivid dreams. Labradorite is also noted as a powerful protective stone.
Protective how?
It's said to transmute negative energies and help maintain energetic hygiene, which can be helpful when you're opening yourself up to intuitive input.
Okay, so for clairvoyance, the path involves noticing those spontaneous images, practicing patience, definitely using meditation, actively working with dreams in those hypnagogic states, and maybe incorporating supportive crystals if that feels right. It really sounds like training yourself to perceive and then interpret visual intuition.
It is. It's about cultivating that inner eye and learning its unique language. Now, should we turn to clairsentience, clear feeling?
Yes, let's. One source actually identifies this as the most common of the four main clairs, which makes sense, I think, because most people can relate to having a gut feeling.
Absolutely. That gut instinct is very relatable. But clairsentience is definitely more than just that.
How so?
Well, the sources define clairsentience as receiving intuitive messages through physical or emotional feeling. So yes, it includes gut instincts, but it also encompasses being able to strongly read others' emotions, what we typically call empathy, and also sensing the collective energy, the vibe, of a space or a room.
Sensing the energy of a place, like feeling uncomfortable walking into a room right after an argument happened, even if you didn't hear it.
Exactly that. One source describes this vividly sensing the elephant in the room, or feeling like you could cut the tension with a knife. That's clairsentience in action. Another source gives the example of instantly getting a feeling for a client's energy when they walk in. Are they bubbly, withdrawn, intellectual, grounded? You just feel it.
Okay. What about physical sensations, things that aren't necessarily emotional energy?
Good question. One source points out that getting chills all over your body is a really common clairsentient signal. It often indicates validation, like, yes, pay attention. This is important.
The validation chill.
Right. And a couple of sources also mention the ability to briefly experience the physical ailments or sensations of others in your own body.
Really? Like feeling their pain?
Briefly, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe feeling a phantom ache in your knee when talking to someone who has knee problems, or experiencing a sudden, specific tummy sensation that relates to a client's digestive issues. One source notes this can even extend to taking on others' physical symptoms, like headaches or lethargy, especially if you're not consciously managing your own energy boundary.
Wow, that sounds like it could be really challenging if you're strongly clairsentient, absorbing everyone's stuff.
It definitely can be, which is why grounding and energy management practices are so incredibly important for those strong in this clair. One source really emphasizes this. Another source also includes phantom tastes and smells under the umbrella of clairsentience sometimes, although, as we'll touch on later, some systems classify those as separate clairgustance and clairalience.
Got it.
But beyond these specific sensations, clairsentience can also manifest as a deep sense of recognition, a feeling of sudden clarity, maybe an epiphany, or just an undeniable knowing or certainty that arises from a feeling in the body. One source highlights the body is perhaps the most reliable barometer for intuition, describing how true knowing often feels like inner stillness, silence, and a sense of absolute rightness deep within your physical being.
That feeling of stillness or just rightness as an intuitive signal, that feels incredibly valuable. So how do you cultivate this ability? How do you get better at reading feelings and body signals?
Well, the foundational step, stressed in a couple of sources, is simply to pay conscious attention. Notice your gut instincts. Notice those physical feelings that arise seemingly without explanation. Don't ignore them.
Acknowledge them.
Yes. One source suggests making it a practice. When you get a feeling about something, take a deep breath and just pause for a moment. This pause helps your brain and your conscious mind actually register what your body is telling you before you jump to dismiss it or rationalize it away.
That makes sense. Give it space.
Exactly. And a really critical skill for clairsentience, honestly, for navigating all intuitive information, is discernment. Learning to tell the difference between genuine intuition and, say, fear or worry.
How do you do that? They can feel similar sometimes.
They can. One source goes into detail on this. It advises paying close attention to how these different impulses actually feel in your body. Intuition, this source explains, tends to have a quality of tenderness, calm, curiosity, maybe consistency. Fear or worry, on the other hand, often feels harsh, tense, demanding, and maybe inconsistent or jumpy.
That's a powerful insight. It's not just about having the feeling, but learning to recognize its specific signature or quality.
Precisely. And because clairsentience, by its nature, can involve absorbing energies and sensations from others or environments, one source strongly recommends establishing clear boundaries and using grounding practices regularly.
Grounding, like connecting with the earth.
Yes. Grounding helps you stay centered in your own energy and release any unwanted or excess energy you might have picked up. The source lists various grounding exercises, things like earthing, literally walking barefoot on the ground, working with specific grounding crystals, yoga, EFT tapping, or even visualization techniques where you imagine roots growing from your feet deep into the earth.
Okay. Are there any crystals specifically recommended for supporting clairsentience, maybe helping with those boundaries?
Yes, one source suggests sugilite, which is said to create a kind of shield of light against stress and negative energies, helping you maintain your own energetic space. Hematite is also recommended as a very effective grounding stone that helps align your energy centers and can act almost like a magnet for collecting and transmuting foreign or heavy energy you might pick up clairsentiently.
Helpful tools. Mm-hmm. I remember one source also had exercises that seemed directly related to using feeling and the body as an intuitive guide.
Yes, absolutely. Exercise 4 in that source, called Intuitive Body, is perfect for developing clairsentience. It suggests a simple but really profound practice. Go for a drive or a walk, but without a planned destination.
Just wander.
Essentially, yes, but letting your body lead. Wait for an impulse or an idea of where to turn or go that makes your body feel relaxed, still, and open. That physical feeling is the intuitive signal, and you follow it.
I love that. Trusting the body's direction.
Exactly. And exercise 7, Focus Your Love, also integrates feeling beautifully. It involves imagining something you deeply love. Maybe a person, a pet, a place in nature nesting right in your heart area. Then you use conscious heart breath to engage with that feeling. And from that state of heart-centered feeling, you use your intuitive senses to receive whatever understanding or gift of knowledge arises. It connects feeling and intuition directly.
These exercises really highlight how developing clairsentience is about deeply connecting with your physical and emotional body, isn't it? And learning to interpret its subtle, often nonverbal language.
It's absolutely about becoming intimately aware of what yes and no, what rightness and wrongness feel like in your unique system. And just like with all the clairs, meditation and consistent practice of the general intuition development techniques we'll discuss are essential building blocks.
Okay, that covers clair feeling. Let's move to the last of the core four, claircognizance. The sources refer to this as clear knowing. This one feels a bit different, less tied to a specific physical sense like hearing, seeing, or feeling.
It is different in that way. Claircognizance is the ability to receive intuitive messages as an undeniable sense of just knowing something is true, but without any logical reasoning, evidence, or sensory input to back it up.
It's knowing.
Just knowing.
Yeah.
One source calls these moments intuitive downloads.
So it's like an answer or an insight just appears, fully formed in your mind.
Exactly. Another source describes it as an immediate answer or feeling that arrives like a light bulb suddenly turning on.
Uh-huh.
But the key difference from a logical thought process is that you don't know how you arrived at that conclusion. There's no step-by-step reasoning. It's just a deep conviction right in your core that something is true, a knowing you can't easily explain away or shake.
Because it's so sudden and, well, unexplainable logically, I imagine this is the clair that's maybe easiest to doubt or dismiss. Your rational mind must kick in immediately.
One source notes this challenge precisely. Because the knowing arrives so quickly, and without that clear, traceable path of logical reasoning, it's incredibly easy for the analytical mind to jump in and say, wait, where did that come from? And dismiss it or second guess yourself. It's like that powerful, unbidden first impression you get about someone or something, which frustratingly sometimes often proves to be accurate down the line.
Right. That instant gut read. Give us some examples of this clear knowing from the sources.
Sure. One source offers compelling personal examples. The author described just knowing deep in their core that a potential hire wasn't the right fit, even though the person had impeccable qualifications on paper and interviewed really well.
No logical reason.
None whatsoever. But they trusted that inner knowing didn't hire the person, and later information surfaced that revealed the person had actually intended to undermine them.
Wow. Trusting that knowing saved them.
It seems so. Another classic example given is walking into a house for sale and just instantly knowing deep down, this is the one. Before you've even seen all the rooms or checked the foundation, it's just a click.
I've definitely heard people describe that exact feeling about finding a house or even a job opportunity, that resonance.
It's that undeniable resonance that just bypasses all the logical pros and cons lists. One source also mentions how this knowing can manifest even from childhood, like just knowing if someone was lying to you or knowing what was genuinely good or bad for you, even if you didn't listen to that inner guidance back then.
Yeah, kids often have that clarity.
They do. And Leo from the Reddit source again shared a fascinating macro example of this. He apparently thought something specific in his head and then seconds later heard someone else say it out loud, only to realize they hadn't actually said it the first time. It felt like a piece of knowledge just landed in his mind and momentarily seemed to project externally.
That's wild.
And another source points out that claircognizance often manifests most prominently in practices that deliberately bypass the analytical mind, like channeling or automatic writing, where information seems to flow through with a sense of simply knowing what to write or say without consciously formulating it first.
Okay, so if this is just a download or a sudden knowing, how do you actively develop it? It seems less about practicing a sense like hearing or seeing and more about, well, what?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? One source provides crucial guidance here. The key is to pay specific attention to those first powerful intuitive hits or moments of knowingness when they happen. But the primary practice for developing claircognizance isn't about getting the information, it's about trust.
Trust, just trusting that knowing when it arrives.
Exactly. You have to consciously practice trusting what you intuitively know to be true, even and maybe especially when you don't have a neat logical reason to back it up.
That sounds like it requires a significant leap of faith sometimes.
It really does. One source explicitly links honoring your inner knowingness to practicing your faith muscle. They explain that the more you trust and actually act on these claircognizant hits, the faster and clearer the messages tend to become. It's like your intuition learns that you're listening and responding.
That makes sense. You validate it through action.
And another source reinforces this, stating that self-trust and intuition are deeply linked. Following your hunches, even the small ones, actively builds that self-trust muscle. And yet another source adds that our own higher mind can serve as the validation for these downloads. It's an internal validation system, not requiring external proof.
So it's less about forcing the information to come and more about becoming receptive to it and, crucially, trusting it without needing immediate logical confirmation. Meditation must help quiet the doubt that inevitably creeps in.
Absolutely critical. Meditation creates the mental quiet necessary for those instantaneous, unbidden downloads to land in your awareness and actually be recognized, rather than immediately questioned or shot down by the busy analytical mind.
Are there specific exercises for this one?
Yes. One source provides a couple of exercises that seem tailored for cultivating claircognizance. Exercise 6, titled Ask and Know, suggests identifying a specific question you have, maybe about a concern or an area you want to grow in. Internally, ask yourself this question and repeat it often, but hold it lightly in your awareness. Don't obsess over it.
Okay.
The practice then is to be patiently open and receptive to the knowing or the answer that simply drops in, often unexpectedly, perhaps while you're doing something completely unrelated, like washing dishes or going for a walk.
Like putting the question out there to the universe and just waiting for the email with the answer to arrive in your inbox.
In a way, yes. It's trusting that the answer is accessible through intuitive means if you create the receptive space for it. Exercise 8 from the same source, Real Question, Real Answer, is also really beneficial for this. It involves starting with an initial, maybe surface-level question about a situation, but then patiently waiting, being open for a deeper, more valuable, what the source calls the real question, to emerge intuitively from within. Working with that deeper known question is itself a practice in recognizing and validating claircognizant insight.
Okay, so for claircognizance, the path involves actively paying attention to those sudden moments of knowing, really practicing trusting them even without logical proof, consciously building that faith muscle, using meditation to increase receptivity, and maybe using targeted exercises like asking questions and waiting for the knowing to drop in. It really is about developing a deep trust in your own inner authority, isn't it?
You truly is. It's about learning to recognize the voice of inner truth when it speaks, even if it whispers rather than shouts, and trusting its quiet certainty. Now, while we focus heavily on these four main clairs audience, voyance, sentience, cognizance, the sources do remind us that intuition isn't strictly limited to just these modalities.
Right, I remember reading that intuition can manifest through our other senses as well.
Yes, exactly. One source briefly touches on these other avenues. For example, there's clairaudience, which is clear smelling.
Clear smelling?
Yes. It's the ability to perceive odors that have no physical source in your immediate environment.
Like smelling something specific linked to maybe a person who isn't there or a memory?
Precisely. One source gives examples like suddenly smelling a deceased loved one's favorite perfume, or maybe their distinct cigarette smoke when there's no explanation for it, or even the scent of flowers, which some interpret as a sign of divine presence or support.
Interesting.
This source also mentions that potentially negative or foul smells, like sulfur or rotten eggs, could sometimes be interpreted as intuitive warning signs. And another source notes that clairaudience is surprisingly common and can sometimes be the very first clair to awaken for individuals.
Huh. That's fascinating. That smell might be the initial doorway for some people. How might someone develop this particular sense?
Well, one source suggests meditating with scents. Choose a specific scent, maybe an essential oil or a flower, focus deeply on it, and then allow your intuition to associate meaning or messages with that particular smell. Another source advises simply paying close attention to any unexplained smells that occur spontaneously and noticing where your thoughts immediately go when you smell it. That intuitive connection your mind makes might be the message itself.
Makes sense. What about clear taste and clear touch? Are those things too?
They are. Clairgustance is clear tasting. This is the ability to perceive taste without having actually eaten or drunk anything. The source provides examples like suddenly tasting chocolate during an intuitive reading or sensing the distinct taste of an ancestor's cigar smoke.
Wow. Okay. And touch.
That's clairtangency, which is also often known as psychometry. It means clear touching or receiving intuitive information by physically touching an object.
Like holding an old object and getting impressions.
Exactly. You can potentially glean information from objects like clothing, heirlooms, vintage jewelry, or even, the source suggests, just by touching the walls of an old building or sitting in someone else's car. The idea is that the object holds energetic imprints or memories that can be sensed through touch.
So intuition truly can utilize all of our sensory language, just operating on a different, maybe more subtle plane. It's about expanding our definition of how information can be received.
That's really the core idea and the truly empowering message woven throughout these sources and really central to our deep dive today is that this expanded perception, this ability to receive information through these various clairs, is something you can actively cultivate and develop.
It's not just something you're born with or not.
Not according to these sources. It's very much described like exercising a muscle. It requires consistent practice, conscious attention, a degree of discipline, and definitely patience. You wouldn't expect to run a marathon without training, right?
Developing intuitive abilities seems to follow a similar principle. That's a great analogy. So it's not just about passively waiting for a lightning bolt moment of inspiration, but actively, consistently working at it. What are some of the most fundamental practices recommended across the board, the ones that support developing intuition generally, regardless of which clair feels strongest?
Well, meditation is highlighted almost universally as a cornerstone practice for developing all the clairs.
Why is meditation so key?
One source explains it beautifully. Meditation helps bring your senses and your body's natural biorhythms into harmony. This creates a more receptive and clearer container, if you will, for intuitive messages to be received. It essentially calms the conscious noise, the mental static, that can so easily drown out those more subtle intuitive signals.
And again, it doesn't have to be intimidatingly long sessions, right?
Not at all. One source is very practical about this, emphasizing that even just 5 minutes a day can make a significant difference. They encourage experimenting. Try different types of meditation, like focusing on your breath, visualization, maybe a walking meditation, even engaging in mindful movement like yoga. Find what resonates best for you. The key is consistency, not necessarily duration.
And I remember one source offered a really simple, super actionable technique for a quick meditation.
Ah, yes, the one-minute meditation. That's a perfect example of making it accessible. You just find a comfortable seat, locate the energetic center of your head, just imagine it, and simply say hello to yourself from that point. It's a centering technique.
Okay.
Then imagine a gold ball of light right there in that center point, grounding you in your own space. Next, visualize a cord running from the base of your spine down deep into the center of the earth. This is for grounding your energy. Imagine any stress, worry, or unwanted energy just draining down this cord.
Releasing it.
Exactly. Finally, call your energy back to you. Imagine it returning fully to your center. And say hello to yourself again from that centered place. The source suggests maybe touching the floor with your hands at the end to help release any excess energy and just balance yourself. It's designed as a powerful, quick reset you can do anywhere.
That's brilliant. A technique you could easily integrate into your day, no excuses. What else really supports this development process?
Increasing your overall awareness and practicing mindfulness throughout your day is another big one. One source has an exercise specifically called increasing your awareness. It suggests consciously moving through your day, trying to be sensitive to dimensions beyond just the purely physical.
How do you do that?
You can imagine your senses extending out into the invisible world around you, almost like antenna, capable of picking up sensations, information, inspiration, knowledge, much like the source says a cable picks up TV signals or your phone receives invisible waves.
I like that imagery, tuning in.
Exactly. This practice involves consciously paying attention to those subtle messages or feelings you encounter throughout the day that don't seem to have an obvious logical source. Another source reinforces this, suggesting you increase your daily awareness so you can start to compare inexplicable events you experience with past experiences, looking for patterns, connections, and potential intuitive signals you might have missed before.
So a huge part of it is simply becoming a better, more conscious observer of both your inner world and the outer world.
Absolutely. Several sources state very clearly that paying attention and practicing regularly is the most essential factor in making your intuitive gifts easier to access, recognize, and actually utilize. Consistency is how these abilities grow and strengthen over time.
Okay, so once you start noticing things, maybe images, feelings, knowings, how do you keep track of them? How do you prevent them from just feeling like random disconnected occurrences?
That's where journaling comes in. Keeping a record of your experiences is a practice recommended across multiple sources.
An intuition journal.
It's exactly. Keep a dedicated journal where you note down any visual images you receive, physical feelings or sensations, sounds or words you heard internally, moments of clear knowing, maybe even colors, or any spontaneous phenomena that felt significant. Do this especially after meditation, after doing specific intuitive exercises, or when you've consciously asked a question and are listening for an answer.
And journaling helps with discernment too, right? That intuition versus fear thing.
Yes. One source specifically points out that journaling is an excellent tool for exploring your intuitive process itself. Writing things down helps you reflect and can make it easier to distinguish the quality of genuine intuitive signals from the often louder noise of fear or anxiety.
That distinction seems so fundamental. We touched on it with clairsentience, but it feels crucial for interpreting any clair input correctly.
It truly is. It's probably one of the most important skills in intuitive development. One source emphasizes spending time actively feeling the difference in your body and mind and observing the quality of the messages. Remember, intuition tends to have that calm, kind, curious, consistent quality, while fear often feels harsh, tense, demanding, urgent, and maybe erratic. Or repetitive. Cultivating this discernment, as the source wisely notes, requires listening to yourself with both an open mind to the possibilities and a healthy degree of skepticism to evaluate the source and quality of the information you're receiving.
Balance, openness, and discernment.
Yeah.
And all of this seems to build towards that core idea of trusting your inner guidance, which we talked about being vital for claircognizance, but it sounds like it's really key for everything.
Crucially so, yes. Several sources strongly emphasize the importance of honoring your inner knowingness and making the conscious choice to trust your intuition, even when your logical mind is screaming for proof or doesn't understand.
That takes practice.
It does. And one source makes the powerful point that self-trust and intuition are deeply intertwined. Each time you pay attention to and actually follow a hunch, even a small one, you strengthen that muscle of self-trust. And strengthening self-trust, in turn, makes it easier to hear and follow your future intuitive guidance. It's a positive feedback loop. Another source reminds us that our higher mind, that deeper part of ourselves, is capable of providing its own validation and internal confirmation that doesn't rely on external agreement.
It's becoming really clear that developing intuition isn't just about receiving mysterious messages out of the blue. It seems intrinsically tied to developing self-awareness, self-trust, and really a deeper relationship with yourself.
It absolutely is. It's a path of personal exploration and empowerment. It's about learning to navigate the world, not just with your intellect, but with your whole being, listening to all the ways information comes to you. And maybe it's worth adding a bit more context here. Experiences with these abilities are highly individual, as we've said, and they can definitely evolve over time. One source mentions that some people find their intuitive abilities significantly amplified after profound life events, things like near-death experiences.
Right, that makes intuitive sense, actually. A radical shift in perspective or consciousness could certainly open up new channels of perception.
Exactly. And while exploring the clairs might feel like a very modern spiritual pursuit to some, another source provides fascinating historical context. These kinds of intuitive and seemingly psychic phenomena have actually been subjects of serious inquiry by psychologists and physicians for centuries.
Really, not just dismissed.
Not always, especially in the early days of psychology. Researchers like Myers and James, who were pioneers of psychical research back in the late 19th century, explored concepts like subconscious selves and automatic writing. Figures like Pierre Janet actually used phenomena like mediumship to help develop his theories on dissociation. So this historical perspective shows that humanity has long been curious about these non-ordinary ways of perceiving information and trying to understand consciousness.
So it wasn't always relegated to the fringes. It was part of the early scientific attempt to map the complexities of the human mind.
Exactly. Though it often remained somewhat on the fringes, the inquiry itself persisted. Even modern research, like some touched upon in one source regarding psychological traits like porosity and absorption, which seemed linked to a person's tendency to sense spiritual presence or have mystical experiences, continues to explore the underlying factors that might make some individuals more naturally attuned to subtle information or experiences. This grounding adds a layer of depth, showing this isn't just some New Age fantasy, but part of a long-standing human exploration of perception and consciousness itself.
That definitely adds a whole new dimension to think about. And speaking of navigating these abilities, especially if they become quite strong for someone, does that raise any considerations about how they're actually used ethically?
That's a really important point, and yes, one source brings it up directly regarding ethical considerations. It suggests that the ability itself, whether it's clairaudience, clairvoyance, or any other, isn't inherently good or evil. Like any form of power or knowledge, it's the person wielding it who makes the choice about its application.
So the responsibility lies entirely with the individual developing and using these senses.
Precisely. The source highlights the personal responsibility that comes with developing and using these abilities. Are you using your clairs for helping others, offering uplifting insights, and serving the greater good? Or are you potentially using them for manipulation, causing harm, or maybe just inflating your own ego? The choice of how to apply any intuitive insight you gain is always a personal, ethical one.
That's a crucial reminder. And the journey of development itself, this isn't always smooth sailing, is it? The sources mention potential challenges.
No, it's definitely not always smooth, and it's important to acknowledge that. Developing these abilities can sometimes feel confusing, maybe overwhelming, or even a bit unsettling, especially at first. You will almost certainly encounter internal doubt, that logical mind pushing back, questioning everything, and you might also encounter external skepticism from others who don't understand or believe in these experiences. It's vital to be patient with yourself and understand that intuitive development is rarely a straight linear path. There will likely be ups and downs, times when it feels strong, and times when it feels quiet. If you do start to feel overwhelmed by the input or the process itself, those grounding practices we talked about earlier are your best friend for centering yourself and managing your energy.
And I remember a comment in one source wisely noted that if you're experiencing something unusual, it's always prudent to consider all possibilities. That includes consulting medical or psychological professionals if there's a genuine concern.
Absolutely. Rule out the mundane first.
Right. But don't let the fear of it being a medical issue automatically prevent you from also exploring the potential that it could be a new intuitive experience starting to emerge.
Discernment and a balanced, grounded approach are key throughout the entire journey. Don't jump to conclusions either way. Explore with curiosity and care.
Okay, this has been incredibly rich. Let's try to quickly recap this extensive deep dive into the clairs and their development.
Sounds good. So we've established that intuition seems to be an innate human capacity, something we all possess. And what are often called psychic abilities are frequently just more conscious or developed forms of this natural intuition, manifesting through different clairs or channels like clear hearing, clairaudience, clear seeing, clairvoyance, clear feeling, clairsentience, and clear knowing, claircognizance, among others.
And the really empowering takeaway woven through all the sources is that everyone has the potential to develop their own unique intuitive language. It's not fixed. It happens through consistent practice.
Exactly. Meditation seems to be a universal foundation for creating the inner quiet needed. Increasing your overall awareness and mindfulness in daily life is also key. and diligently paying attention to and maybe journaling the subtle messages you receive through thoughts, images, feelings, or knowings.
And crucial skills on this path include learning to trust your inner guidance, even when it doesn't make logical sense initially, and developing that critical ability to discern true intuitive signals from the noise of fear, worry, or just random imagination.
Mm-hmm. And remembering that this exploration is also part of a longer, fascinating human inquiry into consciousness and perception, stretching back through history and across different fields of study, it connects us to a deeper human story.
So for you, our listener, as you embark on or continue your path of exploring your own, what does this all really mean in practical terms?
Well, I think it means beginning right where you are. Start by paying closer attention to how intuition might already be speaking to you in your everyday life. Is it that gut feeling you often get? That sudden image that flashes in your mind? That phrase that just pops into your head? Or that deep, quiet sense of knowing something without knowing how you know?
Notice what's already happening.
Yes. Then maybe choose just one or two of the practical exercises or tips we discussed today that resonated with you. Perhaps it's committing to a short 5-minute daily meditation. Maybe starting an intuition journal. Or maybe just consciously practicing paying attention to your physical body's signals throughout the day. Pick something manageable.
Because it's really in that consistent practice, isn't it? That regular attention and that willingness to listen, even when it feels subtle or strange at first, that the muscle of your intuition is built. That's where your unique intuitive language will become clearer, stronger, and more accessible to help guide you.
Absolutely. So given that our sources suggest everyone possesses these different potential languages of intuition, here is something for you to consider as we wrap up this deep dive. What mode of intuitive perception, hearing, seeing, feeling, knowing, or maybe even smelling or tasting, might you be uniquely positioned to explore first, based on what you've already experienced, perhaps, or just what feels most intriguing or natural to you right now?
And maybe think about this too. How might consistently honoring and starting to trust that inner guidance, whatever form it takes for you, potentially change the path you're currently walking? What new possibilities might open up?